All right, let's declare the word of the Lord. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Say it again. I am being filled with the knowledge of His will. As the word of God is coming forth, it is entering into my heart. It is showing me the will of God for my life. And it's empowering me to walk in that will. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. All right, let's continue learning what we began some time ago, talking about how to possess the land. Let's start today from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 is the first scripture I'd like us to read today. No, actually, I am going to read two of them. One we read before, but let's just... All right, let's start from Deuteronomy chapter 2. All right, let's read that chapter 2 first. Deuteronomy chapter 2, let's just come down. I want to use it to review something briefly. Now, this is just to explain a simple principle to us, remind us of what we have been saying. All right, let's start from verse 24. Now, just taking this one from this point. It says, "Rise up, take up your journey, and pass over the valley of the Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land." He said, "Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle." He said, "This day will I begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the peoples who are under the whole heavens, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish of you." Now, there's a reason why I read this. I read this before. I'm going to remind us of the reason in a moment. Or let me just quickly pass that comment now. And you will see what God did to the children of Israel. He was telling them that when I want you to have something, it may not drop into your hands automatically. I tell you what I want you to have, then you begin to contend in battle for the thing that I want you to have. That is a principle. The fact that I don't have something does not mean God does not want me to have it. The fact that I have to strive and work and, you know, labor and put in effort does not mean God does not want me to have that thing. What I'm supposed to have in life is what the Word of God says, not what my experience dictates. That's what I've been trying to establish. That's what we explain the difference between the judgment of God and the will of God. It is our duty in life as Christians to pray the will of God into the judgment of God. That's our duty as believers. Deuteronomy chapter 28, that's the next one. And at this one, we are reading so as to use it as a continuation from where we stopped last time. The Lord said here, from verse 1, "If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God." He said, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field." He said, "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruits of your ground, and the fruit of your beasts, and the increase of your flock, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." Now, I want you to note that. Now, let me not read further than this at this point, but these two versions and these two portions of the scriptures, all right, are enough for us to connect with where we stopped and continue from that particular point. Now, when we're talking about how to possess the land, let me just remind us of something again, which I just mentioned a while ago. When God wants to give us something, He says, "I will tell you what it is that I want you to have." Then you begin to work towards what I have told you. That is how it is. Working with God requires, or when God wants to bless us, it requires our cooperation. That is just the way He designed it. He will tell you, "I have given you the land," all right? He will now bring you to the edge through many experiences. And now says to you, "Go in and go and possess the land." And now, that's the one thing we must understand. Last time I was explaining a particular principle, and this is very important. I've gotten to my message now for today. Now, and that's the fact that if you don't have your heart prepared to receive something, you will not be able to get it. Let me say it again. You have to discipline yourself by paying attention to the word of God so as to prepare your heart to receive his blessing. It's so crucial we get this point. The Lord Jesus went into his hometown, and the Bible says there he could not do any mighty work. Why? The people were not prepared for him. They were not willing to accept what he was saying. They were not willing to accept his personality. And that is a problem. So what we are doing in all of these teachings is to encourage believers to get ready for what God wants to do in their lives. Last time I explained a principle here. Now we're talking about prosperity again. All right? Because, and like you see, one of the reasons why I say I must teach about this is that, you know, when you talk about, people say, hey, prosperity preacher. Of course, you all know me. Those of you who have listened to me, I'm not a prosperity preacher. But you see, if you don't tell the truth, people will believe a lie. If God has given you an assignment to instruct his people with the word of God, you have to teach the truth so that there will be a balance. People will know where to hang their balance. I explained a principle that Paul said, I learned to abound and I have learned to abase. That those are the two sides of Christianity. Many people think that Christianity is only about abasing, but it is not so. There is an abounding side to it. But what we Christians see as prosperity, what we Christians see as wealth, is not what the world describes as wealth. We know that sometimes some Christians have confused the two, so that the sign that a man is prospering is the size of the car that he drives. We know that it is not true. We established, if you're not around, please get the message we preached the last two episodes on this. We said that what God gives us power for is the power to do. Quickly open your Bibles, please. Let's just read this one. We quote it often a lot of times, but let's just quickly read it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. There's something I want to just bring up from here. We quote it a lot of times. Now, to save time, I know I like to back up, but to save time, I'll start from 11. Where I'm going is 18. So to save time, I'll jump, all right? Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and all of that, he said your heart will become proud. Now, please jump down to verse 17. Now, your heart becomes proud, it was emphasizing. Otherwise, you will say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. He said, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now, the word, why I read this, is to bring out the word wealth there. The literal Hebrew for that word wealth is strength. Are you getting my point? The literal Hebrew is what? Strength. It's power. And what God was saying is that I am giving you the ability to work. I am not giving you the ability to enjoy. I hope you're getting my point. He said, after you have eaten and you are full. Now, that is, it is not that you have eaten, you are full. But I'm giving you the power to make wealth. I like one thing that my Bible says here. It says the power to make. Now, it is not about, you know, sometimes in modern day, I told us before, in Christianity, we have to be careful that the world does not teach us things. The way the world reasons is this. When I say make money, what does it mean? It means to get money for yourself. But what the Bible calls making wealth. Wealth is the empowerment that you add into the environment. It is not that which you got for yourself. Are you getting my point? You know, that's one problem, you know, God is helping us. Somebody say amen. All right, you know, Africans, God is really helping us. Amen. Amen. You know, we still have, a lot of times, we have this idea, very common with people who are unregenerated or who are not well taught. You think that how much money do I have, all right, is what I lay up in the bank. As the words of the Lord Jesus Christ towards is that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You must understand that God knows what he said before and he knows what he's saying now. What I mean is this, the Lord does not contradict himself. If he says that I'm giving you the power to make wealth, and he says your life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you possess, it means, therefore, that wealth is not the abundance of things that you possess. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to connect here, all right? Now, people sometimes they think it's what you have laid up, but that's not what God is saying. We have to redefine things properly, because if we don't, we will misjudge. We will misjudge what God is doing in our lives. We will misjudge it. And then when God wants to do something, we think he's not working because he's not doing what we were expecting. When he wants to do something that we do not expect, we hinder it. Now, what am I trying to say here? Wealth He said, it's something you make. It's not something that you have and say, this is mine. What I'm trying to say is that unregenerated man thinks like this, I have this amount. No. A rich man in Christianity, in the eyes of God, is not decided by what he has. It is decided by what he creates. I hope you are getting my point. That's what it is. And you see the remnants of it in developed countries. If they want to tell you that this man is wealthy, you tell Bill Gates probably has never seen $10 billion, you know, together. And they tell you that the man is worth 30-something billion dollars. What they mean is that what he has placed is set in place. The value of it in the environment, in life, is this. You are getting my point. So if the man needs to, like now if you go and meet him and say, sir, I need $200 million. He has to sell off a bit of something else he has to get you the money. But that doesn't make him less richer because he doesn't have the cash. But that's a remnant of godliness actually in those societies. That what is my value? It is what I am producing. It is not what I am consuming or what I have. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Once a friend of mine came around, he practices in the in Europe, all right, in the UK. So no, it wasn't around. We're just talking about him. And another of my colleagues was in the office. He has since left Nigeria and has gone to somewhere else in that region anyway. So that day he was saying something. He said, okay, he wants to ask me a question. He was a junior person to me, far junior. And he said that, what do I think of that my colleague who practices abroad? All right? He's also, we're in the same subspecialty. He said, do I not think he's better placed than I am? He wasn't trying to put me down. He was trying to ask questions. That don't I think that fellow has a better advantage than I have because of the environment he lives in? And I said something to him simply. I said, ask yourself a question. Did he take my patients with him to Europe? I don't know whether you're getting my point. You are looking at the system. You are looking at what he's able to personally do, maybe for himself, maybe for people around there. But I said, no, you are looking at it wrongly. What you should be looking at is, can he serve the people I am serving? The answer is no. I am not saying that he's wrong where he is. He's serving some people. But you cannot be comparing our personal advantages. You should be comparing what the service we have given to people, what the people are receiving from our lives. I remember, there's a story I've not told in a very long time, all right, when it happened, just to try and explain to people the importance of walking in the will of God. When I first came to Enugu, all right, they had not had, I teach University of Nigeria, okay, College of Medicine. They had not had somebody in my position full-time for over 10 years. Now, you can understand that UNN is one of Nigeria's top universities. You understand my point? Yet they had not had a pathologist for 10 years full-time. People that was helping them is come and go. Come and go. So, I met students. When I came, there was a group of students that were repeating their exams. I was one that had to take their exams. And of course, I remember they sent a delegation to me to come and beg me that the kind of questions I set for the other class, that the main class then, they realized that they were in trouble. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. But I told some of those people that used to come to see me that, don't worry. Okay, anyway, let me make a long story short. At the end of the day, the whole exams ended, the main exam ended, and some students still failed. So they now had to repeat the subject again. So they sent a delegation to me to come and, but this time around, there's no negotiating again. Now you have time to learn this subject, and I'm available to teach. But I remember I told some of them, this is where I'm going. I said, by the time I'm done with you, you will be happy you failed this exam. That's what I told them. I said, by the time I'm done, you will be glad. I said, why will you be glad? Because you will have had time to encounter me. We'll have had time together. I will have been able to impart knowledge of pathology into you. And then later on in life, it will help you. Now, those words literally came from the mouth of at least two of them that came to see me afterwards. Sir, thank God we failed, though. Honestly. One of them said, because of me, he's going to be a pathologist. When he was done with the exam, he bought me a gift and said he's going to be a pathologist because of me. There's this young woman, that's the story I'm telling. She was the second person that said, thank God I failed. That because of that, I was able to meet you. Because after she finished, she traveled abroad for what they call an elective. Spent a few weeks in a UK hospital, all right, and came back to Nigeria afterwards. So when she returned, she came to my office to come and see me. And was telling me how life was practicing in an advanced country, developed country, how things were.
No, she was telling me the whole story. And said, sir, she made a statement, said, thank God I failed that exam. He said, because of that, I was able to meet you. He said, all those things you taught us, were it not for those things, I would have been looking like a fool. He said, I was able to talk confidently because of the experience I had relating with you, all right? So, now, why am I telling the whole story? She now got to a point. He said, sir, practice over there is different too. In fact, you just have to make up your mind to go. And she was advising me, this girl, my student, advising me, her lecturer, that, no, you will be more fulfilled. You will be able to practice better. And by the time she finished, I was at my desk like this. I was looking at her. She was sitting down there. No, just talking and talking. I was just looking at her like this in my mind. Oh, foolish Galatian. But on the surface, I was just looking at this young woman. I was looking at her. And when she finished, I said, by the time I would have gone, these were my words, who would teach ignoramuses like you? That was my question. I said, when I would have gone and returned this first generation university to the position where it was for 10 years, how can you stand and say, I would have advanced? No, I wouldn't have advanced. Are you getting my point? I would have caused a place to regress. So it depends on how you judge advancement. I'm teaching, you know why I'm saying all of this? So Christians will understand what they call wealth. That is, the man who makes little profit, but runs a company where he employs 10 people, is a richer man than the one that has a fat job, but he works for somebody else, and he just runs an office, you know, simply, and makes little money. And makes a lot of money. This man keeps a business running. Yes, at the end of the month, when he declares his own profit, it comes to 75,000 naira. Not bad. But somebody does his same qualification. All right? He works somewhere else. Gets got a very, very nice job. At the end of the month, they pay him 500,000 naira. Don't even deceive yourself into thinking this other man is richer than the one whose dividends, that is, the proceeds in his own company, is less. What you count his wealth by, 10 people eat monthly because he's alive. Please, that is what they call wealth for a believer. Never, listen, I said something last time, let me say it again. There is nothing like you are rich as a Christian and you don't have a story to tell us. Do you follow my point? The prosperity, the wealth of a true child of God is a story of righteousness. It is something that people coming in the next generation will read and we will, in all godliness, say, follow this path, it will be well with you. That is what we are teaching. That is what we are teaching. I hope you are getting my point. We need to get that clear so that in our minds, we will be able to walk with God concerning what he wants to do. This is almost like a review, but trying to bring up some more things to it. Now, let's continue from where we stopped last time. Last time, which is why we read that Jeremiah chapter 28 now. I said that if God wants to bless people, last time I explained that it's very important we realize that he wants to do it. There are certain things that are procedures by which he follows. Miracles, even though we talk about it all the time in Christianity, is not what God does normally. God does not like the idea that he will be intervening in your life with miracles every time. He can do it. He will do it when it is necessary. There is a message I want to recommend. Try and get the message. It's by Andrew Womack. You can go to his website and download it. It's free, all right? You go there. The message is titled, How to Receive God's Best. All right? Or How to Get God's Best. Please, I'm recommending you go and listen to that series. To me, that is the best message that man ever preached in his whole life. Somebody else can think differently. One of them is titled, Blessings versus The Blessing versus Miracle, something like that. And that's what I want to explain to you briefly. He emphasized there that God can work miracles, and he will tell you stories of miracles that happened in his life. He'll tell the story of when his engine broke, the engine of his car, the block cracked, and he drove that car with water leaking and stuff like that for weeks afterwards. There was a time his car stopped because there was no fuel. He prayed over it, and he didn't buy fuel for the next 2 weeks, and the car was still moving. I hope you're getting my point. He said those were miracles. He would describe how he earned maybe $2,000. The figure is not correct, all right? But just an idea. $2,000 in a whole year and his rent was $1,800 in a whole year. He said, go and figure that out. That was how he worked in miracles. That was how God helped him. He said, but for after a while, he realized he had not seen a miracle in his life in a very long time. And I said, God, what's going on? I said, the Lord asked him, would you rather go back to the days when you did miracles every day? He said, no. Now, instead of believing God that fuel will not finish in his car for 2 weeks, he buys cars cash. This is an American system where on credit you can go to heaven on credit. You know that kind of thing? Almost. Yet, he has a rule. He does not buy cars on credit. If he wants a car, he will make sure his money is complete. Why? In summary, because God has blessed him. He said now he walks in the blessing. If his car ages, he doesn't like the car anymore. He counts money and buys another one. God can work miracles, and God worked miracles for him. But he said, that is not the best. A miracle, he said, is usually small. You have to get into a crisis before a miracle occurs. You are hungry first before manna falls. But the blessing is so abundant, it goes ahead of your lack. Are you getting my point? Before you need it, it's already there. It's good. Listen, don't feel very spiritual because you're always having a testimony of I needed money, it came. It's good. There are people that never have that testimony. Not because they are not spiritual, but because they have passed that stage. Before they need money, it is there. The supplies come ahead of their requirement. And there's a scripture for it. The blessings will overtake you. That's what it means to bless, to overtake you. For the blessing to get to the place where you will need it before you get there. That's what it means when a blessing overtakes somebody. And Andrew Womack explained, please get that message if you can. It's in the series, How to Get God's Best, How to Receive God's Best. It's titled, I think it's second or third in the series, The Blessing versus Miracles. God can work miracles. He will work miracles when we need them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's not tired of working miracles. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
But that is not what he wants us to have. He wants us to walk in a blessing. It is unfortunate that we preachers oftentimes we emphasize the miracles more than the blessing. We're talking about financial matters now. A miracle of supernatural supplies is good. But listen, those who God uses most times to do that miracle for somebody, they usually don't need it. I don't know whether you got what I'm trying to say there. God will have poured an abundance into them, working by the power of the blessing. And that is where the Lord is taking everyone listening to me this afternoon to. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That you will be so blessed, you will not need a financial miracle.
Amen.
Say amen like you want it like that.
Amen.
It is not as if financial miracles are bad. You just won't need it. Which one do you prefer? You have very good doctors that can take good care of you, or you don't need them. Which one do you prefer? That's it. There are people that won't work in heaven or when Jesus comes back. If you're a doctor, find another job. Find another job. Listen, you should know professions that will die. If you are singing, it's good. You will train the rest of us when we get to heaven. Funny enough, even if you're a horticulturist, God may need you to help straighten some gardens. But if you're a doctor, they say, oh boy, leave that telescope down, that devil reading S you are coming from. Leave it there. Who wants it in this place? When God brings forth the new Jerusalem, he bans doctors, nurses, physiotherapists, anybody that's healing those who are sick. God said, nah, there will be no sick man here. I hope you're getting my point. That is what we are saying. That you will get to a point in your life, financially, you will never need a doctor. Say amen now.
Amen.
You will be so blessed, you will forget what they call financial miracles. Your own level of financial miracle will be to identify doors you did not know was there. Do you get my point? You have a lot of money. God has blessed you so much. You get to a time. You didn't know they needed a new company. They just got there. You just slept overnight because you missed your flight. You wake up next morning. You see land. Say, what's this land for? It's an industrial layout. Nobody's taking advantage. Ah, you remember that there is this $16 million we have not used. And there's a place you've never said a factory. You look around, look at raw materials here. Look at young men and women looking for work. You say, who's in charge in this area? You cancel your flight. You stay another 1 week while you are negotiating on land. Then you now come and give testimony. Praise the Lord. The Lord worked a miracle for me yesterday. What is the miracle? I suddenly saw land when we were thinking about, and there was this $16 million we left. You know, my spirit said there's something that money is for. I was thinking, is it an offering? No, my spirit said it's not an offering. Then finally, this is story. In fact, some people that came up with certain testimony, they won't give it again. They said, okay, Brother Andrew, you said you have a testimony. He said, not again. That man's testimony has spoiled everything. How can I go up there and say, I need that 100,000, God sent it? They'll be looking at me funny. Life has stages. Somebody say amen. And I'm describing the state that God is taking every one of his children to. Are you getting my point? And that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we'll call the blessing. And I'm not emphasizing that is what God wants us to walk in. And he's going to take us there. But it is a procedure. That's my emphasis. So I will take our eyes away from miracles and understand the procedures of God, the blessings of God. That's why we read that Jeremiah chapter 28. And Moses said it there, we were applying it. He said, this is what's going to happen to you. He said, blessed you will be in the city, verse 3, and blessed you will be in the field. Now, you know, I made a list. Maybe I should just read out the list to us of things. I just want to read it to activate talking, okay? And later on, I will discuss them in details. I made a list of 7 things that I believe that we need to be able to walk into the abundance that God has called us to. 7. Now listen, this is not the exhaustive list. You can preach your own tomorrow. Reverend Chris, where are you? You may preach your own tomorrow and say your own is 14. Are you getting my point? You can come and say, why is it 7? It's only 3. Now, I made a list of 7 of them. I'll run through them briefly. We'll go through all of them one by one. Maybe not systematically, but we definitely will touch all of them. Number 1, I say, know your field. He said, blessed you will be in the field. The idea behind field is that there must be something, because this life, I've already explained it, wealth is not about I have money. Wealth is about I'm creating something. Wealth is that I'm impacting people. Wealth is that I'm changing my environment. Wealth is that I'm producing. We read that in Jeremiah chapter 8. God said, I've given you the power to make wealth. Wealth is something you make. It's not the way we say make money. No. Money, you know, government prints money. Let's emphasize on that making wealth. Wealth is improvement in the lives of people. For example, you have an open field, 20 hectares of land, plain, flat ground, very good quality ground. And then there's grass on it. They say it's good farmland, nobody's farming on it. You say, I can farm corn here, and you get some permits, and you start farming corn in that place. It takes you a few months to prepare the land. And then, assume it now, okay? You need to get grain. You don't have. You have to buy. You go and buy good quality grain. Then you don't have money to buy tractors, harrows, you know, plows and stuff like that. You go to the bank. The bank agrees to finance, lend you some money. So with that, you hire some of this equipment. You buy fertilizers. You hire men. Now you started this with nothing apart from the idea in your mind. You are getting my point here. Then by the time you're done, if a few months later, the ground is open, is ready for cultivation. So you now come and you plant corn, which maybe you went somewhere, borrowed the corn, or with the part of the money the bank lent to you, you bought it, and then you planted. 3 months later, it's mature. Everything is going good. A month later, it's all dry, you harvest. Let's make a long story short. Less than 7 months from the time you first eyed that plot of land, you've harvested tons and tons of good quality corn. You pay back the bank. You paid everybody. Do you understand my point? They now say how much money is remaining. Let us assume what is remaining for you. It's going to be 10 million naira. It's a lot of money. It's good money. Amen? But you see, what you have done, remember, before you were standing there alone, the ground was essentially empty, barren. But at the end of the day, the wealth you created is not 10 million naira. It's not 10 million naira that's your profit. What is the wealth you created? All the men and women that worked on it, you've paid them. Assume they were young. WAEC collected some of the money. JAMB collected some of the money. They are adults. They have children. School fees collected some of the money. You are seeing the way it's going. Then the people you sold. Oh, let's not forget the bank.
You pay them interest. They paid workers from your interest. Paid shareholders. You are getting what I'm saying? Then the people you sold the grain to, as an example, they used to make conflicts. The conflict has gone to the market. You are creating, can you see, activity in the economy. Listen, your 10 million naira profit is the smallest of what happened. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If they gave you the option, say, take 20 million and do nothing, reject it. That's my message. If they give you 20 million and they say, do nothing, what do you do? Reject it. Because what you are doing is not 10 million naira. What you are doing is all of these things around it. Getting a few dozens of young men and women to work, getting the bank to have something to do, getting the factory to have raw materials, getting people who sell their product to have something to sell. You are creating activity in the economy. That is what is called creating wealth. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, I want us to retrain our minds very well. Very important. Now, back to what I was saying. The field. As a number one, there must be what? A field. There must be a field. The first thing is that you must have a field in which you generate some form of activity. Instead of praying and say, God, give me money. Say, God, where's my field? I'll develop it further today. All right? Next, you must cultivate the field. I said there are seven things that I identified. Three, you must operate and cultivate righteousness. That is a deliberate thing to do. I'm giving principles for Christians. One of the things I find in the world today, I read a lot, all right? I read their financial analysis. I read, books like Good to Great, Why Small Companies Become Great, Bad Samaritans, I read all kinds of books. And I've realized that the major problem, the Bible said the whole world lies under the power of the wicked one. What it means simply is that they operate by satanic principles, and that is why they keep on collapsing again and again. What do I mean? You go to all of those financial people, what they think about is money. I quote Henry Ford a lot on that. Henry Ford, that was why he hated banks. Henry Ford had a personal enmity against banks. He didn't use to borrow money from them. That was his law. You know his reason? He said they loved the money too much. That they did not love what money could do. They loved the money. So he said, why can't you guys understand that money is a tool? That you should be more concerned about what the money does. For example, say if a business is in trouble, the bankers quickly collect their money back. He said, no, you should be concerned that the business should not collapse. Because the money is a tool to do that business. What am I going to emphasize? Listen, as believers, we must never, ever, listen to this, we must never imbibe the principles of the world. I'm teaching Christians, I'm not teaching people of the world. That is why, listen to me, never as a Christian, anyway, I'll develop it later, let me not preach the message, but let me just drop it so you know what we're talking about. When I'm talking about developing, operating and cultivating righteousness, why did I choose the word cultivate? It's something you must deliberately do and increase your performance on it, of it every day. If they are selling a product, it makes a lot of money, you don't understand it, you don't know how it's blessing people, no matter how much money you make from it, keep away from it. That's unrighteousness. Let me say clearly, many of these pyramid things they do, networking here. Network marketing itself is different, in itself. But pyramid is what you have to be careful of. Now, I won't develop that further now. I just want to explain the fact that, listen, if you find that the business only makes money by recruiting people, it's a bad business. It's a wicked business. That is, your money you are making is from the people that pay the money after you. You guys are not creating. You know, I explained the meaning of creating wealth. If you're not creating, we're just taking from each other. All of you will just go to hell if you're not careful. That's a joke. But get away from it. That's not Christianity. In life, ask yourself, how am I blessing somebody? How am I increasing the life of somebody? Just any business, no matter how, because what some people did some time ago was to, you know what they call network marketing? It was invented really for marketing, not just for making money, not just for collecting money from people. But some people now realize that pyramid schemes are suspicious. People don't like pyramid schemes. Governments that wake up, they know and they hate pyramid schemes. So they now merge the two. They say, we're actually selling something. When you go and check, they're not selling anything. They just use one fake thing to make it look as if they are selling. is very common. It is very, very common. I don't want to call any name, lest somebody start feeling bad asking me questions afterwards. They just use those things they claim they are selling to make the pyramid scheme not obvious. The money only comes from the people behind you. And eventually it collapses. And you must never be part of a system that hurts the people behind you. If the only reason why you are doing something that it makes money is not a good thing to do. Like I said, I will develop it further. We're just dropping things along the line. I said, number three, operate and cultivate what? Righteousness. You must have Christian standards, principles, even when you stand to lose money. You stand with it. I told the story last time. We'll get back to it later. Let me not preach the message now. But the story I told last time, let me quickly say it. It's about Strive Masiyiwa. Strive Masiyiwa, I said, when he was handing Econet Nigeria, all he needed to do was to pay those men all the money they were asking for, a total of less than $10 million. One man was asking for $4.5 million. He said, all he needed to do was pay, he will stay, Econet shares will go up, he could liquidate his own portion of it and be literally a billionaire in Naira and a multi-millionaire counting in US dollars. But he said, it is against my principle. I started business, I said, I will not bribe any government official anywhere. Those men, they said, we will kick you out of Nigeria. He said, go ahead and do it. And they did. Up to 100 of his men and their families were deported. I remember then when I read the story here, I prayed. I read the story when it was still hot that time. I read it on this platform as I was teaching. I prayed. I personally prayed. I said, God, you will vindicate this man. What was done to them is wrong. And I'm so glad God did. It took 10 years, but he did. And our brother that led the charge against him is cooling his heels in the UK jail. Yes? The man who they fought is walking free and teaching righteousness. For us believers, it is not about money. There are things that are superior to the pecuniary gains. To have a story to tell, everything in life has value. Righteousness has value. You may not know how to calculate it, but God looks at it and says, this is value. He looked at the church. He said, you think you are rich? And those guys had money. And Jesus said, you don't realize how poor you are. You don't realize how wretched you are. You don't realize that you can't even afford clothing. You are blind. You are naked. That's what he said to them. As a believer, listen, you don't help God to fulfill his work. The way by which you help him, is always say that give the bribe. I've heard it taught before. The person who taught it, I just felt sorry for the fellow. Say, maybe you are overwhelmed by all the pressures of life. Say, give them the bribe. Then when you make money, you will now advance the gospel. Listen, you've already bowed to Satan. You've bowed to Satan. I will talk about it later. I'm getting ahead of myself. Number four, I said you must have your wisdom for salvation. What is wisdom for salvation? You can get my series, my radio series, which I taught some years ago, titled Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. What was I saying there? That life has different seasons. There's a stage of sit down and count. Two, there's a stage of the trial of your faith. Then there's a stage of fruitfulness. Then there's a stage of multiplication and dominion. I gave about four or five stages. Can't remember all of them, but these are definitely four of them, all right? But the stage of sit down and count, what does that mean? Anything you want to start in life, you make up your mind, what do I want to do? How do I want to do it? What am I doing differently? When I started the ministry, I said, what I'm doing right now, I'll be honest with you, I did not see anybody do it. I'm not saying nobody had ever done it, but I didn't see anybody doing it. But I said, the ministry I want to do, what's going to be different about it? This is the thing I want to do. It had its own challenges. It still has its challenges. But that was my own wisdom for what I want to do. If you are doing business, you go to the market, you are selling clothes. There are 20 people on your line. Ask yourself every day, there must be something I'm doing differently. So that I will not be afraid to tell my customer, go to the next shop. Because what I'm doing for you, you won't get it there. There must be something. You can't just be competing anyhow. What I mean by anyhow? Everybody is doing something the same. You're just waiting for luck to bring people your way. There must be something that people will say, look, go there. They will do this one for you differently. That's what they call the wisdom for your salvation. In life, you must know what you want to do. And God will give you something to do that you are doing differently from somebody else. That's what I call the wisdom for your salvation. Now, of course, I said number five, you must recognize that life has stages. When people give up, is that they are in the stage of planting, the stage of the trial of their faith. They drop it and walk away. You must understand that. Life has different stages. Then number six, you must pursue multiplication. Listen to the message I preached as part two of this. Today is part three, that last week soon. What I mean by pursue multiplication? People easily, now, there's a difference between complacency and contentment. Contentment is what God teaches us. Complacency is when we're easily satisfied with a few things. It's different from contentment. Contentment has to do with what you eat, what you have. Whether you are poor, you are rich, you are happy. Complacency is that you are fruitful. You forgot that God said you should multiply. Then one day, you now start criticizing those who have multiplied because multiplication is a pathway to dominion. If you don't multiply, we're talking of material things now, you can't have dominion. There are some people that your business, you are just praying Coca-Cola, will not notice it. Because the day they notice it, many people, they can't even do pure water properly because Father and Baka will push them out of the market. Why? It's called multiplication. The scale, do you understand? His ability to scale some of his costs has dropped his price down. When you want to compete with some people, it's hard. You need God to bring you another kind of wisdom. And that is why in life you must pursue multiplication. You can't have a shop in the market. After 6 years, you are happy that, yes, this one at least I'm feeding my wife, I'm feeding my children. That's what I call poverty mentality. You are feeding your wife, you are feeding your children. Yes, now only your wife and you are manning the shop. When your son grows up, there's no work for him there, sir. Must everybody else have money to open the shop before they have work to do? No. Open the second one and employ two people inside there. That's what they call multiplication. You must be multiplication minded. Number seven, I'm going to develop all of these things one by one just to give us a preview so that you know how sweet it's going to be. Don't miss the next one. All right, the Lord is good. And then number seven, this is very important. Get ready for divine placement. In your mind, always get ready for what? Divine placement. There's a principle behind it. He said, occupy with this until I come. All this is what we are saying is occupation. You don't call occupation, you are occupied. You are keeping busy. Where you are right now is what you know. You don't know where God will take you to tomorrow. David used all these principles, preserving his sheep and all of that as a shepherd. There is no way of scheming to become a king. I don't know whether you get my point. There was no way he interceded and prayed and plotted and gave an offering to Samuel that I have 10 goats in my house. Anytime you come by, come and pray there. No, the man was not at home the day Samuel arrived with the oil that God gave to him to go and pour on the oil on the head of the next king in Israel. I assume he was busy somewhere tending his sheep when they say come. So he told one of the servants, please watch over this, I'm coming. My father needs me urgently. He got home. And the moment he entered, Samuel said, good. And after that, his life was not the same again. It took a while, but eventually he became king in Israel. That's what I mean by get ready for divine placement. He said, occupy with this until I come. And when he came, he said, I have been faithful in this. You gave me one mina, I have produced 10. He said, now I'm taking you away from this business. I want to put you in charge of 10 cities. Those are the seven principles I want to look at. Oh, let me just warn you. Along the line, if the Holy Spirit brings an eighth one, we add that to it and change our mind. It's no longer seven, it's now eight. Revelation is progressive. Are you getting my point? But for now, this is the seven I have come with. All right, the Lord is good. I hope you're enjoying it. You're enjoying it, eh? Get ready for breakthrough, amen? Great things are coming your way. If you believe it, say amen. Now let's get back to that first one and develop it further. I said, know your field. He said to them through Moses, blessed you shall be in the field. God has never liked idle people. You will notice when Jesus was calling the disciples, most of them he called from where they were doing something. That's what he did. Even Matthew was collecting tax. Let's even forget Matthew and those other people. Let's look at Paul. Paul was busy persecuting the church. That there was more salvation for a persecutor of the church than the man who sat at home doing nothing. Saul, that's his name, was busy persecuting the church. That was when God met him on the way. I tell Christians all the time, you must fight idleness like it's a disease because that's what it is. The problem, when people say there are no jobs, it makes me laugh because I've seen people who can work, they will always find something to do. A young man met me once. Very interesting young man. I was waiting for my wife where I was, you know, she was doing something there, a meeting in church. Said, sir, do you walk around here? It was a hotel premises. The church was meeting there. I said, no. He said, I need a job. I said, what kind of job? He said, anything. I thought, what's very funny. I said, what do you mean by anything? That currently, he's somewhere where he helps them clear grass and clear dirt. That the only reason why he needs another job is that the place is too far. So the transportation cost is wearing out the little money they are paying him. Otherwise, he was satisfied with doing that. He was a student in the tertiary institution here. So, he said, when I was in the village, I used to serve missing. I didn't know what that meant. That was my first time of hearing that expression. I knew those people, though, but I didn't know the expression. That I used to serve missing. I said, what does that mean? I thought missing was a kind of delicacy that they serve in a restaurant, you know, something like that. But anyway, I had no idea what he was talking about. He said that construction site, those that carry block, carry sand, carry cement that has been mixed. I looked at the guy. Suddenly I understood what he meant when he said anything, because the guy had done anything. I like to tell his story, because you see, those who can walk, a lot of people say they are not just, they are lazy people. And they have ideas that are not godly. I told the story, just talking about being diligent, being hardworking. The brother that made us go to Port Harcourt to go and preach that day, listen, this is the kind of person, we wanted to drag people from Port Harcourt to come and listen to us here. I told him, no, that wouldn't be fair. It's easier for me to move. And listen, just by the way, I've heard people who love the word of God so much, they're willing to do that. The first time I went to Owerri to go and preach, the brother there, many of you saw, he came for our seminar last year. That was what he did. He told me that, listen, that he's gathering his people, that he just promise them time, that they will come in buses and cars and come to Enugu. They will lodge in hotels and motels. I should just give them time and teach them. I said, sir, it is easier for me to come to Owerri. He said, no problem. And he gathered people, and I came to Owerri and taught them for 3 days. There are people like that. This brother is the other one that took us to Port Harcourt, the same thing he said he wanted to do. I said, no, we'll come to Port Harcourt. What is his story? His story was that he said he needed a job, and the company where he works right now, as management staff, they said they needed drivers. And I said, what's the big deal? I can drive. Did you hear what I said? He said, I can drive. A university graduate. He said, I can drive. He said, look at the money. This money is not bad. He took the job and he was driving. It was while he was driving, they advertised for management positions that he said, I'm qualified for that. And today, he's management staff. I just want to drop that for people who just believe that life is so hard, there's no work. Everybody wants to wear a suit, wear a tie, do nothing most of the day, and get a salary at the end of the month. That is what most people want. When they say there's no work, there is work. Every day I see people who employ, they are looking for who to employ, and they will be able to rest. Most people, when they get jobs, they are looking for, how do I make money here? Is this your salary? Okay, thank you very much. They start looking, how do I augment this salary by doing other things in this same place? So when the client comes, they are smiling more and more at the client, hoping the client will see their smile and drop them a tip. That's what the Bible calls covetousness. That's the name for it. That is the name for it. By the time you take a job, take it and say, this is my job for now. Focus on being excellent. So if you have to leave, everybody will be crying. That where is this young man going? Where is this young woman going? I heard a story of one young man in Lagos. They said there's no work. He's an engineer or something like that. He said, wait, I'm good in physics. I'm good in mathematics. I'm good in chemistry. How can there not be work? And he knew how to get his money. He went to where these big men are. These ones that don't have time for their children. No problem. Let me make your boy know physics. I will make him know mathematics. He became a teacher, house to house. Then one day he got a job, in a very good, lucrative job, you know, that most Nigerians would like. He wanted to resign. He now went to the parents and said, thank you very much. It was nice working with you and your children. I found a job somewhere. I don't know how they solved it, but he said, no, he couldn't go. They had to find a way to make him transit gently. He was going to work in an oil company. But that was how good he was.
He had dedicated himself to feeding those children with good knowledge. When he said he got a job and he was leaving, the parents panicked. And they were paying him very well. That's why they could talk. Please, let nobody lie to you that there's no work. Talking to young people now. What is a job? A job is the opportunity God has given you to be a blessing to somebody else's life and earn some money for yourself on the side. The primary thing is about being a blessing. How can you wake up every day, you don't have anything to do? Go and do something free and get experience. I don't know whether you get my point. Do it free and get experience. Listen, if you don't work, you get no money. If you work and don't get paid, you get no money. True of us? That is, which one is better? You know, most people think, don't work, let them not be cheating me. I don't want people to just be using you anyhow. If they can't use you, you are useless. That's the summary of it. People don't get it. If you cannot be used, the simple meaning of this guy is useless. Let me tell you, it is better to be used and not get a dime than for nobody to use you. You are not using yourself. God does not find you useful. I've told old men, especially guys, who are eating their father's pension money, you will get laryngitis. This is the problem. Pharyngitis, every day your throat is paining you. You say you swallow fish bone. Why won't you swallow fish bone? It's pension money you are eating as a graduate. This is why your neck starts paining you. Every day you sleep, you say, my neck is paining me. It is not the pillow. It is where you are sleeping that's the problem. Your father is the one paying NEPA bill, paying power bill, you know, by buying food, and you are sitting down. You finished NYC 2 years ago. They say, Pele Junior, how are you? I said, this country is bad. There's nothing to do. You have 2 years. Why should they meet you at home? They should come and meet your father. Say, where is Junior? Say, he left. He went to my friend's factory. He said he's helping them with stock taking. That is better. Let them pay you nothing. But at least there, you are in charge of the stores. And the man knows you are honest. So the man is very wicked. Doesn't pay me anything. Better for you. Go and read Robert Kiyosaki's story and read that poor dad. He said his rich dad, when the man wanted to train them to make money, the man taught them to make money. One of the first, he gave them a job, very bad paying job. He knew the job was horrible. Finally, they came one and said, sir, we need a raise. He said, I've been waiting for this. I knew you would soon come to ask for more money. By the time he was through with them, they were ashamed of themselves. He said, now you go back to work. The salary will change, but it's not going up. I'm reducing it to zero. They were like, what? We're coming that the money is too small. Now you are not going to pay us anything. He said, I want you to learn how to work without money in your mind. The man said, most people, they are still focused on money. That's how they never become rich. He said, now I want you to work just for the sake of working. Robert Kiyosaki said, it was when he was working, he discovered some things and began to make money. He saw how they used to discard old comics. Before he knew what was happening, he had a small library in his house, a small club, with other boys coming to pay to read his old comics. Listen, there's a spiritual principle there. Everybody needs a field. Everybody must cultivate a field. We can't all be queuing up. That's why immigration was hiring the other day. People died. It's a spiritual sign. Now they are probing the people in charge that the money they paid for application, where is it? 600 million naira, it disappeared. Everybody wants to work for immigration. Why? Because federal government in Nigeria is a place where you get a job, you get well paid, and you do nothing. And everybody's queuing up. I've already established that's not wealth is. That is not what wealth is. Wealth is not how much money I can get. It's how much, what am I creating? I teach in a school. At the end of the day, I look at these children. Yes, they were ignorant when they came. When they met me, they now have knowledge. That is wealth created in their minds. I work in a place. Listen, if you do, anywhere you work, make sure that your primary, the thing that's pressing you in the heart, is how do I make this place better? Not how much. Listen, human beings, they are never satisfied with money. Let me just tell you. If you think they will pay you more money, you'll be happier. Human beings have this genetic, spiritual, satanic, you know, principle. They are never satisfied with money. One of my friends, he works in one of these oil and gas companies. He said he gets upset in his office that you see people who are well paid, yet they are owing. He said, You see them punching calculator that my mates are earning in dollars. How are they still paying me in naira? He said he will look at them and be thanking God. Lord, thank you that I know you. Otherwise, I'll be a fool like this. When he tells you some stories, you open your mouth, you won't believe it. You know, you know when Michael Jackson died? They said he was broke. One of my friends called me. He said, Black, did you hear that? They said Michael Jackson was broke. He said, if you ever made $100 million, will you ever go broke? We said, no, we ain't going to go broke, you know. Okay, we're joking about it. Michael Tyson, I've forgotten how many hundreds of millions he earned boxing. Yet, as the last time I knew, he was owing American government taxes. He could not pay. So listen, don't think that more money will solve a problem in life. It does not. It does not solve problems in life. I'm going to emphasize something. Money is not the primary thing in the heart of a believer. The first thing is knowing, let me combine two things. One, knowing a field and cultivating the field. I told you I may not go systematically, so I think I'm talking more on the cultivating side now. That people have to be diligent. You have to be. Let's talk about that field thing quickly. There are two kinds of things about field. Now, let me say this before I go on. I said it before, just want to repeat it so you help me. One thing you must pursue in life, Bible says a good name is better than silver and gold. It is better to have a good name than to have silver and gold. Now, when the Bible talking about good name, what it means is that it's better to let people know that this man does not steal. This lady does not tell lies. If she tells you she will do something, she's going to do it. That's a good name. Amen? But then that's not all there is to a good name. Before you have a good name, you should have a name. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Read the Bible well. They usually describe people by what they do. Paul, an apostle. Joseph, the carpenter. Are you getting my point? Yes. People usually have something that describes them. That's what I mean by name. Let's not talk about whether it's good or bad first. Let's talk about even having it. In your life, you must never wish for the name rich man, rich woman. That's not the name. You should be known by something. That's the primary thing. Last time I was explaining it, that if we get called from anywhere, most people that know me on this earth, they know me as a preacher. That is, the name, they know Pastor this. He teaches the word of God. Like I said last time, that, you know, we think only preachers should have that kind of reputation. But it's not so. Everybody in life, there must be something that when people need, they think of you. If you're talking about financial breakthrough, that's what I call field. There will be something that somebody or some people need. And it's not you just wake up one day and start advertising. You know one thing about WhatsApp? You heard of WhatsApp? How many of you use WhatsApp here? Don't bother putting up your hand. Everybody uses WhatsApp. The telephone companies, they are not happy with WhatsApp, I'm sure, because you don't send text messages again. WhatsApp don't kill everything. Just WhatsApp up and down. This is interesting thing about WhatsApp. They have never spent one kobo on advertising. You know, Facebook sends money on advertising. If you put on your Yahoo mail, a lot of times Facebook pops up. Contact friends, old friends, dead friends, living friends, you know. But WhatsApp has never spent a dime on advertising. Facebook bought WhatsApp for, was it 19 billion or 13? $19 billion. At that time, WhatsApp had never spent one kobo on advertising. Now, I'm not bringing up an issue here. It is not advertising that gives you a good name. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Ordinary word of mouth from people that know that you are good at what you do. That's what I'm trying to get to. That a good name is not something you force yourself to have by trying to spread your good name. A good name grows on you just by you being good in what you do. Please, I hope you are following my point. A good name grows on you just by you being good in what you do. And that is how you get to a point people will know that if you want to do this thing, this is a person to call. And what I'm going to say, that's what you should target. Not by trying to spread names, so everybody take my card. Let me tell you ahead of time, most of your cards, they throw it away. Don't waste your money on that card. You can only give it to those who ask for it. Those you hand it to, who didn't ask for it, As you give it to them, oh, all right, yes, you know, I do interior decoration with ceiling and specialized decking and interior of cars, and you give the card. Believe me, nobody's going to call you. The only time they call you is they see interior, they come to somebody's house. Wow, this your interior is, who did this? He said, it's Chinedu. Where is he? He just left here. Now, Chinedu, come. You did this one. Can I have your card? He won't throw it away. The one that he just got and said, take, it's my card. Nami, you want to do experiment. They will not answer you. That is a point I am making. They are not going to answer. What do you pursue? A good name. You say, there must be something that people, when they need, I'm the one they ask. They will ask for. One of my friends, I've told the story many times, but it's such a beautiful story, I want to repeat it again. He was on the streets of Enugu here one day. And one of Nigeria's toughest men, in fact, his name was listed, but he didn't show up, as one of those that may make this ministerial list. All right? I won't mention his name. But then, I mean, these are big men. How did my friend get to know him? He was driving on the streets of Enugu one day. His phone rang. He picked the call, and the man said, am I talking to Mr. So-so-so-and-so? My friend said, yes. He said, I am so-so-so-and-so person. You know, the kind of, you know, imagine that you're driving on the road. Your phone rings. And they say, please, I'm the Jagaban of Bodilon. My name is Ahmed Bola Tinubu. You say, Ole. You hang the phone. You just assume it's 419. You know, that kind of thing. But that was the kind of that happened to him. A big man suddenly called him. The man that only read about in the newspapers. So-so-and-so person, yes, I'm so-so-and-so person. The man was like, is this man serious or is he joking? He said, oh, sorry, the MD of this particular bank gave me your number. So my friend said, okay, it's true, I know that MD. Why am I telling the story? Later, when he talked with the man, he said, okay, my friend said that I need this done. They wanted to do one massive project. He said, I need this done. I talked to my friend, he said that if I need somebody who will do it honestly, I should call you. Are you getting my point? A big man said to another big man that, oh, you want somebody to do this for you? Call this boy. And to them, he's a boy. Call this boy. He's very good with things like this. And they are very honest people. That was how my friend ran to... Because once that man called him, he knew that God has come. Are you getting that thing? No, Jesus said, occupy it till I come. He just knew Jesus had come. I told him the day they were going to... When they finished one of the projects... He was supposed to settle him and his guys, you know, that did the work. He asked them, say, please, oh, he doesn't have naira. He hopes US dollars is acceptable. And they're like, oh, sir, I won't be angry. Bring it. Why get angry? It's ordinary dollar. It doesn't kill. Just bring it. No, I love this story. I've told this story many times. Because me, I chop part of the money. It's good to be a man of God. Hallelujah. It's good to be a man of God. Somebody say amen. It's my friend. Call me one day, say, man of God, where are you? Now, why I like this story is because he was driving on the streets of this town. And somebody said to another man, listen, I told you before, you cannot bless yourself by yourself. It is not you. God has to send people to lift you up. That's just the way life is. He said, I send a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. God was saying something specific about that. But there's an application of it. That when I want to bless you, I send somebody into your life. Mike Mundog said, when God wants to bless you, send a man into your life. That's what he does. Somebody has to open a door for you. How many things can you do yourself in life? How many things? But this man was known. Some people... What do you do? Anything. Listen, is anything okay for that? My friend was in school looking for 10 naira, 20, 20 naira, just to eat, just to sleep well. All right? Go for his lectures. But you want to break through in life, it gets to a point. It's not just anything. There are two ways I wanted to say by which you identify your field. One, sometimes you know it. You know what you do. You know what you can do. It's already burning inside you. You already have a grace. It's called grace. There's already grace for something inside you is there. That is one. I'll talk about it. I'm watching my time. But secondly, let me explain this. Secondly, and that is one area where I need to address before I go back to the other grace thing. I've had questions many times. People will tell me that I don't know my passion.
There was a time passion came into the body of Christ, thanks to Mike Murdock. What's your passion? Your passion is for this. What is your passion? Something that you do even if they don't get, if you don't get paid for it. What's the passion? Something that annoys you, infuriates you, or excites you. For example, what's your passion? Pastor Banky, I like to teach the word of God. I've been teaching the word of God when there was nobody listening to me. My first audience, regular audience, was one fine girl I met one day. I had to marry her. She was such a good disciple. The Lord is good. Some people have passion to buy and sell, passion to teach, passion to do business, passion to run, passion to sing. Less than half of Christians have found out have passion for anything. And they are not sinners. They are normal people. Passion is good, but we don't always have passion. And God just removes passion from us and keeps it on a shelf in heaven. Why does he do it? That's what I want to explain. A young man came to me. When he finished, I said, is that why you came from Abuja? He used to be here with us. He's not in Abuja. He still listens to our messages. So he came to Enugu to come and find me. What is the issue? He said he's a lawyer. He likes corporate law. His boss is transferring him to litigation. And he hates litigation. No passion for it. So he came to see me. What should he do? I said, my friend, you will go back to Abuja and go and litigate. I said, listen, passion is half of the story. The other half, which we don't often teach believers, is whatever your hand finds to do. You see a hungry man, jobless man, say he doesn't have passion. Only you have passion for begging, chopping other people's food. That's the one that makes me laugh. What is he doing right now? Do you have passion for sitting at home? Some of them have passion for sleeping. Ilandibe, why are you still sleeping? I've not found my passion. You have found it. It's called sleeping. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands in passion to rest. This is what brings forth poverty like an armed man. Passion is when you have eaten. When you have not eaten, anything is passion. Okay, Nano? What? Listen. When you have not eaten, you must have passion for any work. I like one thing that I used to have when I was on campus, University of Benin. There were these boys that used to walk around. You know their name? Any work. You know what? They'll be walking down the corridor. Any work, when they say any work, they mean any work. You can call them, hey, come, take this shirt, go and wash it. Thank you. They wash it, you pay them. See these books, eh? They are wet. Go and sun them and then straighten them. They collect it, they get a fee. Any work, come to this room, sweep everything, carry the dustbin, go and throw it away. This is what these boys do, and we gave them a name. It became a name. That is the first assignment of a man or a woman who has not found her passion or his passion. You must first have passion for any work, anything. I told our brother that day, I said, my brother, get back to your office. Your boss says, go and litigate. You will litigate. Don't walk away just because litigation is not interesting. I was a medical student. I had two subjects I hated next to iniquity. As a righteous young man, the worst thing in life was sin. The next were these two subjects as a medical student. Except that in medical school, there's no waiver. They don't waive any course. Pass mark is 50%. You don't go with a, what do they call, what's 40% in the rest of the university? Is it D? Every subject you must fully pass. Our pass mark is 50%. It's a professional thing. Medical and dental council ruled it like that. Nobody asked me whether I had passion for biochemistry or community medicine. Those two things. Who cared? What I did was to get on my knees and said, Lord, since there's no passion, there's prayer. In both situations, God worked miracles for me. I had to learn it. If I remember community medicine, I had to get up in the morning. Every stage in life has its own duty. The duty of a student is not to preach the gospel, it's to go to class. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Some people think I'm blaspheming. Jesus is coming tomorrow. Then withdraw from the school, go and wait for him at the motor park. But as long as you are going to wait for him inside that school, you go to class. Blessed is the servant who the master finds so doing. The doing of school is classroom. I did not say passion. I won't pass. Passion, I didn't have it. I prayed for it too. God didn't give me the passion, he just gave me the discipline. What passion does not carry you for? Discipline will carry you. Go and read my book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. Most people who hang on passion, they only do what they want to do. They are not disciplined. I hope you are getting my point. Discipline is the first thing. You must be disciplined and work. If God has not given you, in quote, passion, you've not discovered it, what the Lord has done is that he will open a door for you and have something committed into your hands. Don't hide behind this is not my calling, and you don't do it. There's one man I knew once, like to tell his story once in a while. Anytime he sees me, he tells stories. He always needed money. And I had no problem with giving him money, but at the point in time, I couldn't understand why a man like this always... Okay, he came and said, one of our friends said, listen, you are a prophet. Well, you know, a professional, now what I mean is that he has a skill in an area. Let me help you get customers. Let's assume, for example, that's not what happened, it's something else, but just as an example, assuming he was very good with painting houses. This man said, I know people. I can get you jobs. I will give you some money, you buy small equipment, then you start painting houses, you're a man. You shouldn't be going around every time asking for money. I mean, it's not as if you have an emergency. This has become your habit. You're asking for money to eat, money to transport your family, money to, you know, basic things. It's not like your roof blew away and we now understand you have a crisis. No. So he saw me one day. He said, look at what this man said. I said, ah. He said, you see, God has not told me to do that one yet. Yeah. My head hurt. God has not told you to do that one yet. But God has told you to go from one brother to the other and be asking them for money. I said, if we must disobey God, there are different levels of disobedience. No, there is sin unto death and sin not unto death. It's in the Bible. All disobedience, they are not the same. So when I want to disobey God, God has not told us to do that. Fine, we'll go and do what is not sin. And if God finds us, he'll say, don't do like that again. He'll send us back. Because God would rather you disobey him, working hard, than disobey him, disgracing his name everywhere, begging. He said, God has not spoken to him yet. You know why God didn't say anything to him? He has said it to everybody. And anything God has said to everybody, he does not give anybody any special communication. How do I know my field? There is one that you have grace for. That is it. That one is coming. But there's a second one, which is whatever your hand finds to do, do it. We have a Bible story to support that. Have you ever asked yourself, what is the field? What's the passion of Joseph? What was his passion? No, not dream interpretation. That was not a passion. That was an ability. There was no job called interpretation of dreams. So what is going on? I'm going to see that man. He wants to interpret my dreams. And that's in the welcome, fill the form. Where did the dream start from? No. Go and read the life of Joseph from the beginning to the end. He was never given the choice at any time in the work that he should do. Not once. Joseph was a boy. They said, go and see your brothers. He was an errand boy for his father. He got there. The brothers carried him, tied him, tossed him somewhere, then sold him. Those who bought him, and slaves don't tell you, master, I don't have passion for cooking. What my passion is to be beating the children. You haven't heard that before, have you? And they brand your back with hot iron. You will understand passion for running. Joseph was not asked, what is your passion? All that happened, they told Joseph, listen, my guy, this is your job. While he was doing the job, he did it so well. Whatever his hand was committed to do, are you getting my point? He did it with the whole of his strength. Then God arranged, and Mrs. Potiphar did what she did, and then brother landed in prison. When they say prisoners, everybody line up. He doesn't say, I don't have passion for getting up at 5 a.m. He did what he was supposed to do. The day the story we lighted, he now became prime minister. Let me ask you a question. Did he have a choice? He says, no, sir, I'd rather go back to prison. He didn't have a choice. They called him interpret the dream. Interpreted the dream, blessed them with the wisdom that God had given him. And Pharaoh said that, you look like you can do the job. Go and start. It's not every time in life they give you a choice. And many people listening to me, the place you will get to in life, you will not even be able to refuse going there. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
People don't know the power of a king. You are sitting down here and they tell you that Buhari is calling you. You know you can't say I'm busy. So the head of state is calling you. You say, I'm not in APC. What you just say is, yes, sir. When? Say tomorrow. I work in the university. I will just send the message to my dean. Please, the head of, I won't obtain permission. I will inform him. So that he will know where I am. Tell the vice chancellor that the head of state sent for me. Are you getting my point? Joseph could not have told Pharaoh no. I'm even a free man. This was a prisoner. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Passion did not carry his life to where it got to. It's discipline at each point in life that took him there. That is one area, because I'm going to talk about the other one, grace, later. But today, let me end with this one, knowing your field. God does not always whisper. Sometimes he just gives you a job. You've heard me now say that don't sit at home eating your father's pension money. It causes sore throat. You've now realized it. So tomorrow morning, you are considering, where do I go on Monday? Along the line, you say, okay, your uncle comes. Follow me here now. You say, the pastor Banky said, if I don't go, I get sore throat. So you go. He tells you, you're at home doing nothing. I just stay in my construction site. These workers, I don't understand. You don't realize, before you know what's happening, you are learning how to supervise projects. People are going to do MSc, project management. You are getting it free of charge. But you don't know. At the beginning, you don't realize it. But the grace and ability that God has poured upon you, which he did not tell you was there, suddenly you start using it. After a while, your uncle realized that, since this boy started coming here, the pace of work has doubled. So one day you say you are going for interview. He say, wait, don't go for interview yet. Let me pay you so that you don't go for interview. Let's make a long story short. From one project, then next thing you know what's happening, the man said, well, actually, this is a contract I got. You look like you know how to supervise projects. Along the line, he forgot that he was the one correcting you, teaching you. You have some background knowledge in maybe accounting or maybe engineering. So you use that to add to the thing that you are doing on site. 2 years later, before your father wakes up, you've left home to go to work. He doesn't even know you work. You live with him anymore. Why? Because one day you just got up and left the house. It doesn't always follow this path, but let us assume. One day, they now say that your uncle is a very honest man. Buhari now called him and says, a minister, the minister of works. Who do you think is going to be his PA? He dragged you along. Welcome, come. Anything I put in your hands, it always works well. Before you know what's happening, you're a PA. Where did you get your CV? At construction site that you went to work, because you would rather go there than stay at home. That was exactly the kind of thing that happened to Joseph. Passion is good. You will identify your grace. But we have talked about it a lot in the body of Christ. We need to remind people concerning discipline, hard work, integrity, just being responsible. Look, one of the worst things somebody can say to you is that if they don't watch you, you will never do what you are supposed to do. If they have told you that before, don't hang yourself. Don't worry. Forget the rope. What you do now is that you go and pray and say, God, this testimony must what? Must change. Let me end here. I'm watching my time. I don't want to keep us longer than I've already done so far. Let's just stop the message here, all right? It sounds abrupt, but let's cool it here. We'll continue from this point next time. I hope you are blessed today. Let's bow down here and just say, Father, we thank you. Let's just say, Father, we thank you. Let's say, Lord, we thank you for the power to prosper, for the grace to create wealth. Say, Lord, we thank you. All right, can I just put up my hand and begin to give the Lord thanks? Say, Lord, thank you for filling me with the knowledge of your will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Thank you because of it, I'm now walking in a manner worthy of you. I will please you in all respects. I will bear fruit in every good work. I will always increase in the knowledge of God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Now, declare after me. Say, in the name of Jesus. I feel very strong about this, all right? I'm going to pray about healing, all right, for everybody who's present. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am healed
from the top of my head.
From the top of my head.
to the soles of my feet. Say, Jesus died for me. He took my sickness to the cross. He took all my pains to the cross. For that reason, the power of his resurrection is giving life to my mortal body. It's making my liver well. My kidneys are well.
My bones are well.
My bowels are well.
My brain is well.
My eyes are well.
Every part of my body.
My heart
is healed.
In the name of Jesus.
Say,
with my God,
there is nothing incurable.
Whatever I have lost,
I recover right now.
In the name of Jesus.
Sickness is gone away from me.
Healing is my portion.
Health is my portion.
I have been made well
because Jesus took away my pains.
Now I want us to all do something. Each person, just about 5 seconds, address within yourself, speak gently to that area that is hurting you. Say to it, go in the name of Jesus. Pain, I rebuke you. I command you to depart because of this word of God I have heard. In the name of Jesus, I command you to depart. I command you to depart. Never give excuses to Satan. Never give excuses. People will say that, you know, it's because of my age. Say, age is not a disease. The only thing age is allowed to do for you is to make you wise. Say, in the name of Jesus, I retain the vitality of youth. I retain the vitality of youth according to the word of God. He has forgiven my sickness and my sins. Therefore, my youth is renewed like an eagle's. He satisfies my mouth with good things. His word has been coming to me. Therefore, it's producing life in me. Say that in me, life is working. I speak to that pain. I command it to go. I speak to that headache. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Migraine, you don't belong here. Bad eyesight, you don't belong to me. Glaucoma, I rebuke you. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, be gone. Hypertension, be gone. I rebuke you. I rebuke you by the power of the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. I declare to you that it is well with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Quickly make intercession under a few seconds for somebody that you love that's hurting, is in hospital, this person is sick. Make intercession right now for the next few seconds. And mention the person by name. Say, I send to you the healing power of God. Receive the mercy of God. Receive the mercy of God. Receive the mercy of God. Receive that healing power in the name of Jesus. By the word of God, be healed. I send you the power of the name of Jesus. Father God, let your mercy be in that home, in that on that bed, in that family, right now, in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody, bless somebody. Bless somebody that you love. Bless somebody that you love. Now let's give him thanks again. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, bless somebody on your left and on your right. This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody else. This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren.